لله حمدا موافيا لنعمه مكافيا لمزيده، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وجنوده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اللهم صب عليها الخير صبا ولا تجعل عيشها كدا كدا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. إن سورة بقرة، Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the responses of two different groups of people to his commands and to his injunctions. Towards the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions detailed incidents of the Yahud, of the Banu Israel, and how they responded negatively to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah even mentions the incident where He had suspended the mountain over them and instructed them, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةِ وَاسْمَعُوا, that take the injunctions of the Torah seriously and listen to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But their response was, سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا, we have listened but we have disobeyed. This is one group that Allah makes mention of. But then towards the end of the surah, Allah makes mention of a different group. And that group is none other than the group of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And their response to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where they said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا. They said, O Allah, we have listened to your command and we have obeyed your command. غُفْرَانَك, despite us listening and obeying, if we have any shortcomings, O Allah, forgive us. So these are two different responses to the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to give an example, a very clear example, which shows the difference between the mentality of the Jews, the Jewish mentality, and the mentality of Sahaba radiallahu anhum when it came to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran Majeed, in the six Juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the incident when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told the Banu Israel to enter a certain city and to fight. It was a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them to fight. Their response to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was, اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَا هُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. You and your Rabb can go and fight. We are sitting right here, we're not moving from here. We won't move, you and your Rabb can go and fight. This was their response to that injunction of Allah for them to fight. On the other hand, we come to the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The famous incident of Badr. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam comes out of Madinah Munawwara with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Not with the intention of fighting, rather with the intention of intercepting the caravan of the Quraysh. But finally, situation became such that now it was a full-scale war that was going to be taking place. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to know whether the Ansar of Madinah Munawwara will give him their support. And the reason for this was that when they had pledged allegiance at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Aqaba, they gave Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam their word that we will protect you while you are in Madinah Munawwara. They did not give him assurance of protection outside Madinah Munawwara. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not totally sure whether the Ansar will be with him in this battle or not. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes mashura, he consults with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Someone from the Muhajireen spoke out, perhaps it was Abu Bakr radiallahu an. He spoke out and gave his support. Second time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam consulted again, another Muhajir spoke out. When the third time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam consulted the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, one of the leaders of the Ansar, he says, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have understood that you don't want the Muhajireen to speak. You want the Ansar to show their support. And he says, Inni aqulu anil Ansar wa ujibu anhum. O Nabi of Allah, I am the spokesman of the Ansar. I am speaking on behalf of the Ansar. O Nabi of Allah, you don't need to worry. You don't need to worry. Now one is the example we gave of the Yahud, where it was incumbent on them to fight in the path of Allah. But their response to the Nabi of Allah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, was, you and your Rabb can go and fight, we're not coming. But here is an example of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, where it was not incumbent on them to fight in this situation, the Ansar. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam obviously wanted them to participate and to support him. Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu speaks, and he says, O Nabi of Allah, that I am the spokesman of the Ansar. Sil habla man shi'it, iqta habla man shi'it, salim man shi'it, adi man shi'it. O Nabi of Allah, you can join ties with whomsoever you want to. You can break off ties with whomsoever you want to. You can make peace with whomsoever you want to. And you can wage war with whomsoever you want to. Fadh an haythu shi'it. O Nabi of Allah, go wherever you want to go. He goes on to say, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِنَا مَا شِئْتْ. O Nabi of Allah, our wealth is here, take what you want. This was that level of submission that they displayed to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And the readiness that they had to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to support Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But he didn't stop here, respected friends. They didn't just say, O Nabi of Allah, take what you want. These were sahaba after all. He goes one step further. He says, Ma akhadhta min amwalina kan ahabba ilayna mimma tarakt. O Nabi of Allah, what you take is more beloved than what you leave. These were the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was the mentality of sahaba that Allah spoke about in Quran. Sami'na wa ata'na. Then Miqdad ibn Aswad radiallahu anhu spoke out. Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu says, a riwayat of Sahih Bukhari, second volume. He says, I really envy that day when Miqdad ibn al-Aswad spoke. And he says, I am prepared to give any wealth of this world just in order to secure that one moment of Miqdad bin al-Aswad radiallahu anhu. And what was that moment? That moment was where Sahaba radiallahu anhu showed clearly by way of the action and verbally as well that we are totally different to the Jews. Miqdad ibn al-Aswad radiallahu anhu says, to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, O Nabi of Allah, لا نقول لك كما قال قوم موسى اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا. O Nabi of Allah, we will not respond in the same way as the Jews had responded to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. We will not say, you and your Rabb go and fight. O Nabi of Allah, we will give you this response. لكننا نقاتل عن يمينك وعن شمالك وبين يديك وخلفك. O Nabi of Allah, we will fight on your right, on your left, in front of you and behind you. وَلَئِنِ اسْتَعْرَضْتَ بِنَا هَذَا الْبَحْرِ لَخُدْنَاهُ مَعَكَ. O Nabi of Allah, if you dive in the ocean, the Ansar will dive behind you. This is the response of the Ansar. This was the temperament of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And this was the mentality of the Jews. And this is for us to think about, for us to introspect, to see who are we following. Are we following our true leaders, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or are we following the Jews in their mentality? Do we show that kind of readiness to accept the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And do we submit to every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whether it pertains to our personal life, whether it pertains to our marriages and our weddings, whether it pertains to our janazas and our funerals, whether it pertains to our business, any aspect of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do we have that kind of readiness to accept every injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Hazrat Mawlana Abu al-Hasan al-Nadwi rahimahullah, the great thinker, the great philosopher, the great historian, the great alim of the recent past, so beautifully he sums up the mentality of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he explains what was the temperament of Sahaba. He says, فَلَمْ يَكُونُوا يَعْرِفُونَ إِلَّا الطَّاعَةَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَالْخُضُوعَ لِأَوَامِرِ اللَّهِ وَافَقَتْ هَوَاهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُوَافِقْهَا وَاتَّفَقَتْ مَا عَادَاتِهِمْ أَوْ لَمْ تَتَّفِقْ. He says the only thing Sahaba knew The only thing they knew was to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submit to the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَافَقَتْ هَوَاهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُوَافِقْهَا. Whether it conformed to their desires or not, to fulfill an injunction of Allah which conforms to our desires is easy. But that injunction of Allah which is against our desire, to fulfill that command of Allah, Sahaba radiallahu anhu were ready for that. وَاتَّفَقَتْ مَعَ عَادَاتِهِمْ أَوْ لَمْ تَتَّفِقْ. Whether that command of Allah was in keeping with the norms of society or not, whether society will frown on it or society will accept it, because it is the command of Allah, I will wholeheartedly do it. I won't be concerned, as they say in Gujarati, handa hu ke hai. What everyone is going to say, I can't afford that kind of wedding. But because it's now keeping in the norms of society, I will have to beg, I will have to borrow, I will have to do whatever it may take, but I have to do it according to that standard. I will break the commands of Allah. I will break my loyalty with Allah, break my allegiance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just in order to keep with the norms of society. Sahaba radiallahu anhu were least concerned about this. It is the command of Allah, we will do and die. And we won't ask who and why. Then we don't question. Let us take one example of a sahabiya, a young Ansari girl, and her level of submission and readiness to accept the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every girl has a dream to settle down in life, to have a good partner, someone who is stable financially, someone who has good qualities, etc. So every young person has this aspiration. And this young Ansariya, for sure, she also had that aspiration. The riwayat of Musnad Ahmad, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam addresses an Ansari, sahabi of his, and he says, oh sahabi of mine, zawwijni ibnatak, give me the hand of your daughter in marriage. Now imagine, Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking for the hand of my daughter in marriage. Na'am wa karamatan wa nu'ma'ini. Oh Nabi of Allah, by all means, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to give you my daughter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, lakinni la uriduha li nafsi. The only thing is I don't want her for myself. So for who, O Nabi of Allah? The Julaybi bin for Julaybi radiallahu an. Now who was Julaybi radiallahu an? Kana fihi qisar wa di'ama. He was a sahabi who didn't have any looks. He was short. He was dark in complexion. He didn't have any social standing as well. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants his daughter for this sahabi. So he says, ushawiru ummaha. O Nabi of Allah, I can't take the decision on my own. I will have to ask my wife as well. I would have to consult with the mother. So he goes home and he broaches the topic in the exactly same way that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam broached the topic to him. Oh my wife, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is proposing for our daughter. Obviously this Ansariya was elated. She was overjoyed. Naam wa karamatan wa nu'ma'ini, by all means. Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our son-in-law, by all means. But then he goes on to say, but not for him, for Julaybib. Now she was a mother after all. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not impose. This was not an instruction. It was a recommendation. Let's understand the difference. It was a recommendation of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It was not an instruction. It was not necessary on them to accept this recommendation of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So the mother was concerned about the future of her daughter. My daughter is going to get married to this kind of a person. What future will my daughter have? And every mother is concerned, obviously. So she says, "Ama wajada Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam illa Julaybiban." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could only find this sahabi Julaybib. Waqad mana'naha min fulanin wa fulan. We had prominent people sending proposals. We rejected those proposals. We must give our daughter to Julaybib radiyallahu an. So she wasn't happy. Now the discussion is growing between the father and mother. At this point, something for us to reflect over. Who is discussing the issue of the marriage? Not the boy and the girl, the father and mother. Unfortunately, today it's the other way around. The boy and girl already decided that we want to get married. Now we need to break the news to our parents. Your father and mother are deciding, they haven't yet consulted the daughter. Doesn't mean we don't consult. Obviously, her turn will come. But they are first discussing among themselves. Now the daughter overhears the discussion. Father and mother are discussing and they are refusing to accept this proposal. Look at this daughter, that young Ansariya, who had their aspirations obviously. She says, Man khatabani ilaykuma. In our terms, that let me interject. You are not understanding the entire scenario correctly. Don't look at the boy, look at who's sending the proposal. Here you can't look at the boy. Look at who's bringing the proposal. Ataruduna ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amrahu. Are you refusing the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It wasn't a command. It was a recommendation. But for this Ansariya, this young girl of the Ansar, the recommendation of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was even a command. Ataruduna ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amrahu. How can you refuse this command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And she says that, get me married to this boy. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is happy for this boy to be my husband, I am happy. Now why can't we get this kind of mentality? If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is happy for me to keep a beard, I must be happy with it. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desires this lifestyle for me, I must desire it. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants me to conduct myself in this way, I must conduct myself in this way. This young girl is explaining to us, displaying to us. In our terms, we will look at it. Although it wasn't like that. She's actually ruining her future in inverted commas just because of the recommendation of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Get married to this boy. No future whatsoever. Materialistically, there's nothing that I can see in the marriage. Just because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommends this boy, I am prepared to get married to this boy. Now imagine when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was overjoyed. She had won the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then she didn't need to ask for du'as, she earned du'as. We many a times request du'as from our parents, from our elders, from the pious. The more important thing than requesting du'as is to earn du'as. To conduct ourselves in such a way with our parents that automatically at the time of tahajjud du'as flow from the heart. Why? Because we earned the du'as. This young girl, she earned the du'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this obviously opened up a whole future. Allahumma subba alayha al-khayra sabba wa la taj'al aishaha kaddan kadda. What greater fortune could this girl ask for? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making dua. Oh Allah, you shower your blessings on this girl. Wa la taj'al aishaha kaddan kadda. And don't let her see any difficulty in her life. Very shortly thereafter, the incident is very lengthy. Shulaybi radiallahu anhu became shaheed, the incident of his shahadat, etc. You don't have the time to go into it. And thereafter, this girl became a widow. The words of the riwayat of Musnad Ahmad, Kanat anfaqa ayyimin fil ansar. She, this widow of the Ansar had the most amount of proposals. Most amount of proposals from among the Ansari widows was for this girl. Why? Because she had secured the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the mentality of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Readiness to accept every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but even the recommendations of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. One more example. Example when it comes to business. Unfortunately, many of us have this mentality. My salah in the masjid, I will do it correctly. Everything else, I will do it correctly. But business, to conduct it according to the laws of Shariat in this time is very difficult. I won't make money. If I don't borrow money on interest, how am I going to get money? How am I going to invest? How am I going to expand? So because of this, I can't follow the laws of Shariat when it comes to business. Unfortunately, many a times we have this kind of mentality. The riwayat of Sahih Muslim, Nabi alayhi salatu comes to Madina Munawwara. The Ansar of Madina Munawwara were farmers. And they had certain practices, certain ways that they were leasing their lands, etc. Detailed laws of fiqh that relate to it. So they were involved in some kind of transaction. Rafi ibn Khadija radiallahu anhu says that my uncle came from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he says, Nahana Rasulullah sallallahu an amrin kana lana nafi'a. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stopped us from a certain transaction which was very profitable for us. In our terms, you are making millions. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you can't do this. It's not Sharia compliant. You can't do this transaction. Now what will our response be? Our response will be, but there must be a backdoor also. We can squeeze a permissibility. We'll find someone. We'll go fatwa shopping. We'll find one mufti who will give us the permissibility also. What was the response of Sahaba? It was profitable for us. But he says, my uncle, when he brought this message, in the exactly same breath, he says, وَطَوَاعِيَةُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ أَنْفَعُ لَنَا. But oh my family, remember, obedience to Allah and His Rasul is much more profitable. We may be making profit here, may be making millions here, but if you're going to break the command of Allah, it's not profitable. Profitable is when we fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the injunctions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was the mentality of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And we explained the Jewish mentality. And as we explained that we need to reflect, we need to introspect to see how much are we conforming to the standard that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had laid. Standard of submission and standard of accepting and readily accepting every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and every injunction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever aspect of our life it may be pertaining to. We discussed examples of fighting in the path of Allah. How Sahaba were ready for it. When it came to business, when it came to marriage, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum wholeheartedly accepted not only the instruction, but even the recommendation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unfortunately, our situation, as we explained, is that we will try and look for some permissibility. Somehow or the other, we need to make it right. That maybe we can do with our accountant. We tell him, I'm doing whatever I want to do, you make the books right. That's your problem, not my problem. If you find an accountant, we'll do that for you. But for deen, it's not that way. Not that I'll do what I want to do, the Maulana must make it right for me. No. When it comes to the accountant, maybe we can try that. I'll do what I want to do, the accountant must just show the books right. But when it comes to deen, we can't do this. Now we have to see, what does Allah want from me? What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam want from me? I must follow deen objectively and not subjectively. I don't subject deen to my desires. I must see what does Allah want from me. What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam want from me? And this was the vast difference between us and the people of the past. The great imams of fiqh, we speak about them. Why do we follow them? There are many reasons, obviously. But a simple way was, when they looked at Quran and Hadith, they looked at Quran and Hadith objectively. What does my Allah want from me? What does my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam want from me? And when we look at Quran and Hadith, unfortunately many a time self-studying Hadith and Quran, we will look, how can I squeeze out a permissibility? I want to do this, let me find how I can do it. One person told me, so on the topic of fatwa shopping, he says, he met one friend of his and he told him, you know what, my cousin is in a problem. He divorced his wife 3 times. And now he can't get back to his wife, he's trying all over, he can't get back. So after some time he met him and asked him, hey, what happened to your cousin? He said, no, he's back with his wife. How is he back with his wife? He said he went all over looking for fatwas. All over he looked for a mufti. Until finally somewhere in Durban also, he found someone. Only Allah knows what qualifications that person had. But he said, you know, it's simple. You must just cook 40 degs and feed the poor, you can go back to your wife. Fuqaha never even dreamt of a masta like this. He never even dreamt of a masta like this. But now this person wanted to do this. So he had to look for someone who will support him. On the other hand, our outlook has to be, what does my Allah want from me? Maybe I am weak. I am weak, I can't fulfill that standard. But let me attribute the weakness to myself. Let me attribute the weakness to myself. Just before Jumu'ah, maybe 1 hour before Jumu'ah, one friend phoned me, relative as well, young person, doesn't even have a beard. And he asked me on masla. So when he asked me the masla, I knew it was impermissible what he wanted to do. But I'm thinking to myself, what will his response be, whether he will accept it. So I told him the masla, he said, alrighty, that's a masla. And he put the phone down. Then I thought about it, I remember the same person. He told me, up till now he doesn't have a beard. But he told me when Hazrat Mu'in Sahab Rahmatullah Ali was living, he once went to Hazrat, and he told Hazrat, you know what, I got a problem, a weakness, I can't keep my beard. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali told him, if it's your weakness to shave your beard, then that's your prerogative. But what you must do is every morning when you place the blade on your face, then at least speak to Allah and say, oh Allah, it is my weakness. I'm not supposed to be shaving. And it's my weakness I am shaving. Oh Allah, you give me the tawfiq to change. If a person has this kind of mentality, where he acknowledges it as his weakness, then inshallah there's hope for him to change. But if we try to justify, and try to look for loopholes, and try to change the laws of deen to suit our desires, then, respected friends, very seldomly there's hope for us, there's very little hope for us to change. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these qualities of sahaba radiallahu anhum, where we are ready to accept every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Thank you.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله وأكمل لنا ديننا وتم علينا نعمته ورضي لنا الإسلام دينا فلا نعبد ولا نستعين إلا إياه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم وقال تعالى فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم صب عليها الخير صبا ولا تجعل عيشها كدا كدا بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن المجيد ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطيع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنها والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضي الله تعالى عنه اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا رضوان الله تعالى عليهم وعلى كل الصحابة أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون قال تعالى فاذكروني يذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. Ensure there was some straight and all the gaps are filled in. There's a lot of place inside the masjid. Let's try and fill up the gaps. On the right also there's quite a bit of place.
Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت ربنا وتعاليت عن الله. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا راد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم.